Drupal Voices is a series of interviews with people contributing to the Drupal community. Brought to you by the 2011 Do It With Drupal Conference. This year's event takes place October 12th, 13th, and 14th in Brooklyn, New York. Come get practical advice and learn the site-building strategies of Drupal's top developers and hear from experts in emerging technologies such as IPTV and mobile app development. For more information and registration rates, visit doitwithdrupal.com.
My name is Catherine Lynch. I'm a web developer for Drexel University Libraries in Philadelphia. I'm talking about advanced accessibility at DrupalCon here. I'm talking about a couple of different things. I'm talking about sort of the philosophy of accessibility and the approach to accessibility education. And I'm also talking about the use of advancing web technologies for accessibility, such as HTML5, CSS3, and ARIA.
Cool. So in Dries' keynote, he kind of like made the announcement that accessibility is going to be a big critical sort of gate that, you know, people are going to have to check to make sure that they're remaining accessible. So when you talk about the philosophy of accessibility, what is it that you think people should know?
Well, in terms of the philosophy of accessibility, what I'm really focusing on is the people who already know accessibility. And those people who already know, you know, accessibility development need to understand that the people who don't know out of indolence or the idea that they don't care or even wouldn't want to help. That, you know, everybody deserves to know about accessibility, and the more we can spread the word, you know, the more help we can get. It's very good that we've got, you know, such attention to accessibility based on Dries' keynote. The fact of the matter is we are a very small team of people who actually, you know, have the ability to contribute right now. There is a culture surrounding accessibility outside of Drupal where people are essentially afraid to admit that they don't know. And so, you know, in this culture, they're sort of afraid to ask and thereby reveal that they don't know. So it's kind of up to us who know about accessibility to bring about a change and sort of establish that it's okay not to know and that we're here to help educate people. And so there's that sort of thing. In terms of just knowing about accessibility, it's important for people to understand the basics of accessibility as it stands now. Things like, you know, proper markup of your HTML, alt text on images and like the context they're in, rich media alternatives, you know, header structure, that sort of stuff. And then there's, you know, more advanced techniques that you can start to learn about, you know, sort of come up with, you know, ideas and tricks to use. An example that's been posted around online and that's sort of been adjusted and rolled into the presentation I'm doing is the use of icons for people with cognitive disabilities to help establish relationships between navigational elements and what the content that they actually yield. And there are some pretty easy ways that you can use CSS3 attribute selectors to establish icons for, you know, various pieces of markup on your site and additionally just various markup, you know, element types on your site. For instance, establishing an icon for calling attention to a link to an access key. And access keys are also used or can be used by people with motor disabilities. And so, you know, another good thing to do is add access keys for that matter.
And so what are some of the other advanced accessibility techniques that you're exploring in your session?
Well, a big thing that we're talking about is obviously HTML5 video. We're talking about the fact that, you know, there are default video controls when you've got that live to the browser. It's not compliant all across this, you know, it doesn't perform the same across all browsers yet, but what's already there is pretty usable. And what's exciting about HTML5 video is that it yields the ability for you to pretty easily override the default controls and style them differently if you want to, and, you know, control them differently so that you can create good, robust video controls. And robust video controls need to be able to be completely operable from the keyboard, for instance. And a big thing that is actually native to a bunch of the default performances of HTML5 video player in many of the browsers is that it can, you know, sort of get in and out of it from the keyboard without the use of the tab index markup. So you're not, you know, bringing focus into the video player and then you can't get out of it, like, you know, like what happens with YouTube fairly frequently. Additionally, you need to have some standard access keys for use with the player. The space bar being used for play pause tends to be uniform. Being able to scrub backwards and forwards using the arrow keys, if possible. Firefox, I believe it is the one that has, you can scrub backwards and forwards at 15-second increments using the arrow keys. and other controls being able to sort of tab through them and then hit enter when you want to activate, and adhering to standard controls outside of this that others use, for instance, if you go into full screen, hitting the escape key. And finally, when you are, you know, inside of this application, it's good to make it visible exactly where you are. And you can do this, a standard way to do this is a yellow border about 5 pixels in width. And you can make the indicator look a little bit more, you know, match your site a little more, but this is standard and readily visible.
So being at a library at a major university like Drexel University, are you able to kind of put some of these accessibility ideas into practice there, or talk about sort of like how this ties back into your job?
Well, I'm fortunate to be able to do development for the new versions of various applications and the new versions of various pages on the website. Currently, I'm working on a Drupal 7 version of our website, and from there rolling in a lot of, you know, HTML5 and CSS3. And this is good because in the hopes that when it's ready to launch, there'll be a lot more cross-browser compliance at a major university and as a very public-facing site. Something that we really need to keep in mind is complete compliance and usability across all browsers and multiple versions of browsers. We're still supporting IE7, IE8, we are supporting IE9, we're supporting Safari, Firefox, Chrome, you know, the major browsers. And so we need to ensure that anything we do, you know, that's on the live site is accessible, usable, and displays correctly across all browsers. So that's something that we keep in mind for live active development. Active development on things for the future, you know, we can kind of, you know, it's sort of a free-for-all on, and that's where I can really start to do some active development for accessibility using things like HTML5 and CSS3 and things that haven't yet, you know, haven't really been done before. And so that's kind of exciting.
Are there any other advanced techniques that you were talking about in your session?
Well, I'm talking a little bit about ARIA and how you can sort of mark up HTML5 semantic elements using ARIA to further educate browsers and assistive technologies to their use. For instance, marking up the progress semantic element, which is, you know, element where your loading bar, loading icons go, with the ARIA live assertive setting so as to be able to report to the user as loading occurs. Also reviewing the ARIA roles that apply to certain semantic elements. And in some browsers, there are default roles built in. There are roles that you can override. And then sort of just keeping in mind that all of this is not standardized yet. And so all of this is kind of subject to change.
Is there anything in particular that Drupal 7 allows Drupal developers to do that Drupal 6 didn't in terms of accessibility?
Well, the navigation scheme is actually a little bit more a little more usable. I'll say that just development for accessibility for Drupal 7 has been pretty exciting and amazing in terms of the active participation by people in the accessibility community. And certainly with the environment of development that's surrounded Drupal 7, it's become a lot easier for people who know about accessibility, even if they don't necessarily know how to code for Drupal, to contribute their thoughts on this. And so the next push that we have is that we want to get more people who know accessibility or who can learn accessibility from those accessibility experts who are helping us to then actually, you know, contribute code, who also know how to code Drupal and then actually can help us contribute more code. And we have a Birds of Feather session tomorrow in which we're going to be dealing with accessibility in Drupal 8. And so we're hoping to make things, you know, incredibly accessible. Because Drupal is already a very accessible CMS, and it's only getting better. So we're hoping with Drupal 8 it's going to be entirely accessible or nearly entirely accessible at the least.
What's sort of on the docket for like the biggest pain points for accessibility in Drupal when you're looking at changing things for Drupal 8?
Well, there's a few things. There's, you know, obviously the overlay caused a number of screen reader issues, keyboard issues, and some other accessibility issues. We have workarounds right now in place for Drupal 7 where you can deactivate it pretty quickly. But we're sort of in active consideration for what to do about it in Drupal 8. There are any number of color contrast issues with themes in, you know, certain themes that deals with people with low vision or, you know, cognitive and perceptual disabilities. So we need sort of a way to sort of standardize that and allow people to test when they're coming up with a theme if there's an adequate amount of color contrast. There are some issues with weighting, sort of dragging and dropping, and figuring out how best to surface weight issues for people who wouldn't necessarily have access to the drag and drop, you know, mouse-only capability that's there now. How best to do it without confusing those who do use the mouse-only drag and drop. And there are a number of other issues as well, but those are some of the big ones that come to mind immediately.
And it seems like, you know, accessibility is sort of like learning the best practices. So Are there any big things that you were talking about in your session, or just like that people, as they're learning more about accessibility, should keep in mind in terms of best practices in accessibility?
Well, one big thing that I mentioned in my session is that appearance and context of information should always be kept separate. So, you know, if somebody needs to get information from the way something is presented, you need to make sure that that information is also available outside of the way it's presented. Some disabled users find it easier to navigate a website, particularly one if accessibility has not been a priority in its development, by disabling the CSS, by removing the style sheet. So, you know, for instance, calling attention to text by simply using the CSS to color it in red, you know, that doesn't really do anything for us. And obviously that could be a problem anyway for people with color blindness or low vision problems. But, you know, this is something to bear in mind. You know, if the CSS goes away, how much of the information do people lose? That's, you know, part of the context. So, you know, it's appropriate to use, for instance, the strong tag markup in your HTML so that, you know, your text is not only red but perhaps also bold, for instance. And that way that kind of stays in place as well. So you can kind of, you know, and using CSS3 when so many things are so much, you can do it so much more easily just with the CSS as opposed to, you know, creating a bunch of divs and embedding a lot of images and that sort of thing. It, when it becomes a lot easier to do that, it becomes a lot easier to separate context and appearance of information.
And has Drupal made kind of a little splash into the wider accessibility community? Is it starting to be more well-known within people who are interested in accessibility? But talk a bit about that process to the larger accessibility community in that.
Well, it's getting to be a bit better known. You know, we're making a really big accessibility effort, and certainly within the Drupal community, people are becoming more aware of the accessibility effort. Outside of the Drupal community, there are, you know, accessibility advocates who understand that what Drupal is and that there is an effort towards making it accessible. And there are, however, a fairly large number of people also who either don't really know what Drupal is or don't understand the accessibility effort surrounding Drupal yet. So this is another thing that we'd really like to be able to make a push for education for outside accessibility developers and outside accessibility advocates to understand how accessible Drupal already is and how easy it is for them to help make it even more accessible.
And it seems like it's because Drupal 8 is going to have such an emphasis in having accessibility. Where do you suggest that people go to get more information or to get more involved with, you know, the future of Drupal and accessibility?
Well, they can contact me through my website, katherinelynch.org, and I'm one of the people who's on the accessibility task force, and we're always looking for people to help. They can go to the accessibility group, groups.drupal.org/accessibility, and just, you know, join in the conversation right away. There are a couple of modules and a couple of themes out there. There's the Accessible Helper module, and there are a few other, you know, projects out there. Just look for projects or patches tagged accessibility, and if they want to, you know, if they want to help, they can just start posting away there. And if they just don't know where to start, you know, they can contact me, Mike Gifford, Everett Jufeld, some of the other people who are big in the movement. Brandon Bowersox is another person. They could contact anyone individually, but a great way to start is going to the accessibility group on groups.drupal.org, and just introducing themselves and saying, you know, here's what I have to offer, and here's what I'd like to help with, and, you know, that's a good way to get involved.
Well, great. Thanks.
Thank you.